This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and happy to be with you today as we spend this time together discussing issues of importance to your life and to your faith. Always a joy to spend this time with you. We absolutely adore hearing from you. Yes, we do. We always invite you to give us a call here because we can't have that holy conversation unless you call in. Let me give you the number to use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. We've got our call screener waiting to hear from you. I do believe it's Ryan Penny. I'll be corrected if it isn't. And he is looking forward to hearing your big old howdy hey for him. He enjoys hearing from you all of the time, as do I. When you do call in, let him know where you're calling from and how you're listening to us. And if you're a first-time caller, be certain to let him know that so I can ring my little... There you go. First-time caller bell to welcome you to the program for the first time. I love ringing that bell. I love hearing from first-time callers. And if you've called in the past and received prayer and you have a praise report, do call and let us know because that edifies the body of Christ, right? It lifts us up. It encourages us. It shows us that our God is good. And in sacred scripture, we hear the apostle saying, I will proclaim his marvelous deeds. We want to proclaim the marvelous deeds of the Lord. So do let us know if you've had an answer to prayer as we have prayed for you right here on Women of Grace Live. We're also available to you out there in social media land. Simply get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You're going to see that there's a chat feature at each of those locations. Use that chat feature to put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. And Jeff Burson, who is our producer and also our social media manager, will dash out there, get it, and put it up on the board, and we can work with you. Yay! We love it. We love it. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, toll-free for you in North America, outside of North America. Your number begins with a country code, which is 1-205-271-2985. That's 1-205-271-2985. Well, you know, I've been telling you all about the exciting news for our upcoming Women of Grace Fall Retreat. And as we have thought about this beautiful opportunity to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been encouraging you to register and to sign up. We're going to be talking about prayer. Yes, we are. And we're going to be talking about various forms of prayer, how to pray, how to enter more deeply into that beautiful, beautiful gift that God gives us to communicate with him. The vehicle by which we do that is called prayer. It is a special form of conversation, which is what it is. As St. Teresa of Avila tells us, what is it? It is the nothing more than conversation with God. But prayer is a special name for that conversation. And there's different ways in which we can approach God, just as there are different types of conversations that we have with each other. As well as the fact that prayer is the way that we increase and come into this ever-deepening relationship with our Lord, right? This union of hearts that he wants for us to experience, our heart tucked into his heart tucked into our heart. And this morning, as I was praying on the office of readings and morning prayer with my husband, there was this beautiful, beautiful letter to Proba from St. Augustine that talks all about prayer. And I thought, how timely is this? We have a special guest with us today, Kathleen Beckman. She's going to be sharing with us about why she's excited about this upcoming event. And she's also going to be talking with us about a very special form of prayer, deliverance prayer and exorcism prayer, which is what she will be sharing with us all about in greater detail at our event, which is this coming weekend, October 23rd through the 24th. All the information out there for you at at womenofgrace.com. I forget sometimes which URL to send you to. It's womenofgrace.com. And you're going to see how you can register right online there. But I want to share this with you. I'm really excited about this. And here is advice coming to us from St. Augustine himself. He's writing this to one of his spiritual children, Proba. And he says this, let us turn our minds mind to the task of prayer at appointed hours. Let us always desire the happy life from the Lord and always pray for it. But for this very reason, we turn our mind to the task of prayer at appointed hours, since that desire grows lukewarm, so to speak, from our involvement in other concerns and occupations. I want to stop right there. He's advising his spiritual daughter to do what? Have a set time for prayer. An appointed time. And notice that it's not just a time, but it's a time throughout the course of the day. Appointed hours. Why? Because if we don't do that, our desire to communicate with God might grow lukewarm because we're going to get involved in all other kinds of occupations. And I got to tell you, there have been mornings when I have ushered, you know, or sent off a very quick prayer to the Lord and then gotten involved. And it's been so very difficult for me to get back to my prayer time at some other point of time in the day. And he's advising her against this. And I took this personally as I read this. It was as if St. Augustine was speaking, Johnette, just be mindful here, right? And then he says, we remind ourselves through the words of prayer to focus our attention on the object of our desire. And who would that be? God. Otherwise, the desire that began to grow lukewarm may grow chill altogether and may be totally extinguished unless it is repeatedly stirred into flame. Very important words. Therefore, says St. Augustine, when the apostle says, let your petitions become known before God, this should not be taken in the sense that they are in fact becoming known to God, who certainly knew them even before they were made, but that they are becoming known to us before God through submission and not before men through boasting. So he's saying, God knows what your petitions are, but do you know what they are? And are these petitions that should be righteously placed before God? In other words, are these worthy? Are these worthy prayers? Are these things we ought to be praying for? Are they in accordance with God's will? Or are they selfish desires, perhaps? Right? And that's the submission part there. Are we submitting ourselves before God? Since this is the case, he writes, it is not wrong or useless to pray even for a long time when there is the opportunity. I mean, when it does not keep us from performing the other good and necessary actions we are obliged to do. So he says, pray for a long time, as long as it's not taking away from your daily duty. But get this, but even in these actions, as I have said, we must always pray with that desire. To pray for a longer time is not the same as to pray by multiplying words. This is very important. To pray for a longer time is not the same as to pray by multiplying words, as some people suppose. Lengthy talk is one thing. A prayerful disposition, which lasts a long time, is another. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that good advice? In other words, it's not sitting before the Lord for 2 hours just babbling on and on and on, for even the pagans do that. But rather, it's a prayerful disposition of heart that you can carry into all of the activities of the day and fulfills the scripture mandate that St. Paul gives us to pray without ceasing. These are excellent words. They are in the Office of Readings today. You can go and find them and read them for yourself and continue forward with them. But prayer is what our entire retreat is going to be about. Open the eyes of your heart, the transforming power of prayer this weekend, October 23rd through the 24th. All of the information available for you at womenofgrace.com. First slideshow, hyperlink, click on it. You can register there, read about all of the speakers, find out who they are, see when they're going to speak and what their topics are. It's all there for you. When we come back, we've got Kathleen Beckman with us. She's for you too. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and we are encouraging you to pick up the phone and give us a call here today. We're eager to talk with you, always are. If you're a first-time caller, please let Ryan know so that I can ring my bell and welcome you to the program today as a first-time caller. Ryan Penny, of course, is our call screener. You can talk to him too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, your number, country code 1-205-271-2986. 1-800-875-8585. Jeff Burson, who is our producer, is also our social media manager. If you go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page and use the chat feature there and put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there, Jeff Burson is the one who gets that, retrieves it for us, and gets it up on the board so we can address your concerns too. Well, I have been telling you all about this upcoming Women of Grace online retreat, which is happening this coming weekend. I'm so glad it's arriving because I've been so eager for it. The topic is very near and dear to my heart. Open the eyes of your heart, the transformative power of prayer. And we've got one stellar lineup of speakers. We certainly do. It's headed off by Father Peter John Cameron, who we are very excited to have back with us. He was with us in the summer. Kathleen Beckman is going to be speaking with us, and she's going to be presenting on a very particular kind of prayer, deliverance prayer and exorcism prayer. She's also going to join me in the beautiful healing service that we'll have along with Father Peter John Cameron. Thomas K. Sullivan is going to be with us. Sue Brinkman is going to be with us. Susan Potvin is going to be with us. And Susan Tassoni is going to be with us, the trio of Susans there. It's going to be fantastic. Everybody presenting on a different aspect of prayer, but all of us exhorting each other to pray and to pray without ceasing. We've got Kathleen with us today, and we're going to be talking with her through this first half hour. And when we get to the bottom of the hour, we're then going to take your phone call. So I'm eager for you to give us a call. We want them to stack up right now, right? Because you'll try to get in later and they're likely to be used up, those phone lines. So please do call us at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Kathleen Beckman and I have known each other for many, many years, and what a great grace it is to make your way through life with very holy friends. And she certainly is that to me, and she certainly is for me a role model and an inspiration. She's a wife and a mother and a business owner. She's the president and co-founder of the Foundation of Prayer for Priests. It's an international apostolate of prayer and catechesis for the holiness of priests. Do we need that apostolate today? We certainly do. She is also served the church for 25 years as a Catholic evangelist, author, Ignatian certified retreat director, radio host, and writer, and is often featured on Catholic media such as EWTN, radio, and TV. We have her on every time she writes a book and sometimes in between. Having completed the Association of International Exorcists course in Rome and formation at Mundelein Seminary, she serves in the Church's Ministry of Deliverance and Exorcism, assisting priests and their teams. She is the lay coordinator of her diocese's Ministry of Deliverance and Exorcism, which is in Orange, California, and serves on the advisory board of the Pope Leo the 13th Institute. She also serves on the advisory team of Magnificat, a ministry to Catholic women. And it was through the murder of a loved one she learned the diabolical nature of attacks on the family and that Christ is victor and healer. Sophia Institute Press publishes her books, and she has many of them, including Praying for Priests, God's Healing Mercy, When Women Pray, and her latest book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare Strategies for Deliverance and Healing, available for you at EWTNRC.com. I think you get an insight into why Kathleen is such a great, great gift to the church today. And Kathleen, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so excited about this upcoming event.
Well, Jeanette, thank you so much. And it is such an honor to enjoy sacred sisterhood with the Women of Grace. And we met through the coming together, if you will, of Women of Grace and Magnificat, a ministry to Catholic women. So it has been a joy to walk the journey with you. And yes, this coming conference this weekend is so exciting. It's so foundational for everyone, for men, for women, for young adults, for families. I think priests would even benefit from it. Having the great Father Peter Cameron on board, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And I'm glad you incorporated that in because, you know, I think that it is very important for our priests, especially as they listen to your talk, to understand the way in which the diabolic works. I don't think that seminary training, you know, often includes enough of that, if any of it, in the studies that our priests go through. And then they're confronted with these very real issues that are going on in people's lives. And it can catch them by surprise. And that's why the work that you have done, Kathleen, especially through the Pope Leo XIII Institute, and all of what God has gifted you with through your studies in Rome, are such a treasure for the church today. We don't like to become overly fascinated by this topic because the evil one will use that to lure us in. But to have a healthy acknowledgement that the diabolic exists and to know the weaponry that we have to be able to confront it in our families, in our personal lives, in our life of prayer, in our corporate life as the people of God is absolutely essential.
Absolutely. And, you know, the ministry of healing, deliverance, and exorcism is it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, you know, knowing the demand of the people of God right now for the need for healing, deliverance, and exorcism, there's an increasing need because so many people have fallen away from the practice of the faith and the practice of prayer. And therefore, there is more that is happening within the church to train up our priests. And, you know, priests are highly educated, and their seminary formation is just packed with all kinds of necessary curriculum on the scriptures and everything. And so adding this additional piece about spiritual warfare, sometimes that hasn't, you know, entered in. But more and more, I'm happy to report that it is becoming part of their formation in the area of angelology, and you know, their attention is being given to this area of formation for clergy. And I certainly am grateful that the Pope Leo XIII Institute responded to the call of the Holy Spirit to help train up bishops and their appointees so that priests can really be those spiritual fathers that they're called to be and help set the captives free.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're encouraging you to hear more about this when you join us for our online fall conference this weekend, October 23rd, 24th. As I've been telling you, all of the information is available for you at womenofgrace.com. Click on that first slideshow. It'll take you to a landing page. You can read about all of the speakers that will be there. You can see what they'll be speaking on, what times they're speaking on these beautiful topics. And we want you to join us for the whole event. And, you know, and Kathleen, you know, something that you said there, I think, is really important to reiterate. You talked about people have fallen away from a life of prayer. And you know, we were talking about that beautiful letter from St. Augustine to a spiritual disciple, Proba. And in that, you know, he's encouraging, you know, this regularly appointed hour of prayer. I remember that one of the ways in which a teller in a bank gets to learn how to differentiate between a counterfeit note and an authentic one is through touch and feel. And it's in that time of prayer that we're actually in communion with God, touching him, so to speak, soul to soul, and having that sense, interior sense, of that which comes forth from him. And so prayer is very essential for us as we strive to find truth from falsehood presented to us by the lying spirits, the deception that marks our day and time. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, St. Augustine, he's one who can really teach us, even by the example of his own life, of what it is to fall away from God and fall away from prayer. And the results of that are never good. And I know in my own experience, I'm very grateful that a priest spiritual director really guided me to make a daily holy hour after daily Mass when I was in my mid-30s, and that was a long time ago. But, you know, he served me very well. Now, he had been a Trappist monk for 17 years, so he understood contemplative prayer and monastic life and was very formed by that before he became a diocesan priest. So, you know, at one point he said, when I had just had my conversion just set on fire in my mid-30s, through Mary and the Rosary, by the way, and I'm glad that we'll be talking a little bit about that in the conference as well. Someone will be covering that topic. But, you know, I think that when he said, sit there before the Blessed Sacrament and do not, you know, offer more than 15 minutes of formal prayer, but allow yourself to enter into silence. And he explained how hard it would be to sit there for an hour, but not to leave before an hour, to stay there. And, you know, after a while, I just became formed to stay there. And sometimes now my holy hour is 2 hours or more, just because it is so beautiful to commune with Jesus Christ, to commune with the Father, to commune with the Holy Spirit during that time of prayer. And, you know, you and I both offered contributions to the book, When Women Pray, and we spoke about the very power, where we wrote about the very power of prayer in that book as well, how important it is to pray each day. And as you were saying, from the quote from St. Augustine in the Liturgy of the Hours today, there should be set times of prayer. For me, it is the morning with daily Mass and daily Holy Hour. When I try to veer off that, just like you shared in the beginning of the program, then a lot of times prayer gets squeezed out or the quality of it is compromised. And really, we pray, and as we enter into prayer, it becomes a joy. It's life. It's foundational. It's the oxygen of the soul. It's what empowers us to do, you know, what God is calling us to do. As you were reading that very long bio for me before you were introducing me, I thought all of that, in a nutshell, is the fruit of prayer, period. I began to pray, and the Lord could have his way. And I think you could agree with that, Johnette. You begin to pray, and life in the Holy Spirit just takes on this beautiful, beautiful way of forming us, to be docile to the will of God and to bear fruit and to be able to just be an instrument, not unlike Our Lady, in doing whatever God tells us to do.
Kathleen, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, if I were to begin my day with prayer, first of all, I'd have to get up really early in the morning because I have to be at work by a certain time, or the children get up and I've got to get them ready for school and I've got to get everything collected in the house and, you know, and my day gets put into gear. But what we don't realize is that when we give that time to the Lord, everything falls into place. So if I have, you know, delayed my time of prayer for any reason, you know, it my morning does not go smoothly. You know, everything it's like in a heap. You know, it's like looking into a bag that's just got, you know, shreds of paper and all kinds of other stuff in there that's all just a jumble. But when you spend that time in prayer, there is a peace that follows to the organization of the day, through which more is accomplished and more is yielded than you would have gotten accomplished and what it would have yielded if you had been working for the time that you spent in prayer.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. I've seen that many times in my own life. It just does not go well for me in the way that the day is. Well, you look at the fruit of the day and the way that my disposition for the day is changed by beginning with prayer. Now, I have an opportunity to go to Mass at noon. I have it in the evening at 6:30 at night. And there are times when I have done that, but still I have talked with my spiritual director many times and how efficacious it is to begin the day in prayer. And if I have time, I would love to share how one day I was leading a retreat and, you know, encouraging the women in the retreat to make a daily holy hour and attend daily Mass. And one of the women responded saying, oh, I think that's totally unrealistic, you know, for mothers with school children, just like you described, Johnette. And another woman just raised her hand before I could even respond and said, may I respond to that? She explained that she was the homeschooling mother of 8 children and that she cannot get up and go physically to the church. But she said, what I do is I explain to my husband and my children that mommy needs to be with God each morning. And so therefore, I get up 1 hour before the rest of the family. And they know I have a prayer corner and I make a holy hour in our little prayer corner. And she said, I close the door. And she said, the older children take care of the younger children. And at times, they will be at the door, and she can hear them say to one another, shh, mommy is with God. Oh. Isn't that a beautiful way? Oh. And she said, I have given that first hour to God so that I can be a better wife and a better mother.
That is absolutely beautiful. I mean, and the children, you know, out of the mouth of babes comes words of wisdom, and they know what that is about, you know, and what an example she sets for them and how respectful they are of that time, which helps for them as they continue to grow, to be encouraged to do the same. And I think that that offers us, you know, some very good insight into how it is that the Lord desires to be with us as well. And, you know, I just want to encourage you all to consider joining us, men and women, as Kathleen said, young adults, joining all of us for this beautiful retreat, October 23rd and 24th. It is a virtual retreat online, very convenient for you. You don't have to leave your home. You can be present to this retreat and let this retreat be present to you without the cost of travel or the expense of staying somewhere. We really do want for you to join us. All of the information is available for you out there at at womenofgrace.com. And we do want for you to sign up. You can do it right there online. Just use that first offering there in the slideshow, which is a hyperlink. It'll take you to the landing page that tells you all about the event and offers you the opportunity to sign up. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation. Our guest today is Kathleen Beckman. She is one of the speakers for this upcoming conference. And Kathleen has been sharing with us a personal witness about her life of prayer, but also sharing with us about the importance of being able to discern what is of God and what is not, the way in which the evil one seeks to draw us away from him, and sharing with us why prayer is one of the best means of defense that we can have against the evil one. We don't think about it, but all of this comes together for our benefit through the grace of the Holy Spirit. So we do invite you to pick up the phone. Give us a call. Ryan Penny's there. I have my first-time caller bell all ready for you, too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Social media opportunity available for you, too, right out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Put your question, comment, insight, inspiration or word of encouragement in, and our producer Jeff Burson will retrieve it and he'll get it up on the board for us. Looking forward to hearing from you after the break, inviting you to stay with us. We'll be right back.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, friends. We're happy you're with us today, inviting you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone. Give us a buzzeroo. You're going to like it. We love when you call in today. If you're a first-time caller, please do let our call screener, Ryan Penny, know so that I can ring my bell to welcome you as a first-time caller. We're also eager for you to leave a message for us out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Jeff Burson will retrieve your questions left there, and we'll get to them on the air today as well. Again, that number, 833-288-EWTN. Our guest today is Kathleen Beckman. We're talking about the upcoming Women of Grace retreat this weekend, October 23rd and 24th. It is a virtual retreat, which means that, well, it's available to everybody in the convenience of their own home. And I do want to let you know that there will also be a link provided to you after the retreat that you will be able to use to go and re-listen and watch any of the talks that you might have missed. Or if you're not able to join us this weekend but really want to hear these talks, well, then you'll be able to have your own private personal retreat through these talks, which will be available to you. The link will be sent following the beautiful presentations that will go on this weekend. So there is no reason why you cannot join us, at least at some point in time, if not being with us this weekend. As I said, it's a stellar lineup of beautiful, beautiful speakers who have so much to share about the importance of prayer, which is the theme, Open the Eyes of Your Heart, the Transformative Power of Prayer. And we'll be talking about transformation. What is that really? And what does it mean exactly? All kinds of beautiful questions, all kinds of beautiful answers. There is that interactive portion of our virtual retreats where you can ask questions of the speakers and get a response right away, and we know you're going to love it. Excellent talks. All of them are listed for you out there at our website. Just go out to womenofgrace.com. As I said, click on that slideshow. It'll take you to the landing page, and if you just scroll down, you'll get to see the whole of the concept of it. You'll get to see all of the speakers that are going to be presenting. You'll also get to see their bios there, and you can read through those. You'll also be able then to see the entire schedule for the weekend, and there's a register button. You can click on that and register right online. We're hoping that many, many, many of you will take advantage of this opportunity, because prayer is so very important. It's the foundation of all things, really. I often think of Tom Price, and many of you know him from Catholic Radio here on EWTN. And Tom, he said before he came into the church, he was just a pedestrian in life, walking through life. He was a pedestrian. And I love that, because I think that that's often the attitude that we take, that things just happen to us. Well, we are active players in the way in which our life unfolds. And if we're actively engaged with a relationship with the Lord, things unfold for our benefit. They unfold for our purification and sanctification. They unfold in such a way that we can indeed proclaim that we're made in the image and likeness of God and have that confident hope and assurance of life on high with Christ Jesus. So I certainly do hope that you're going to join us. Kathleen, I know you're all excited about it, and you are excited about some of the talks that some of the other speakers are going to be giving too.
Oh, absolutely. I'm particularly looking forward to Father Peter Cameron's teaching on talk on problems we face in prayer and how to overcome them. And I'm so glad that that's going to be part of the conference, because the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us that prayer is a battle. Well, who are we battling in prayer? Well, our human nature, it doesn't normally tend to prayer. Just naturally, it takes some effort, some perseverance, some training up, even though our heart is made for prayer. And the other thing the Catechism teaches us is that we're also battling against an enemy that does not want us to pray. Mm-hmm. And I just really can't emphasize that enough. Prayer becomes a battle because we have an enemy outside of ourselves who does not want us to pray and will try to distract us from anything having to do with prayer or conversation with God. Why? He is afraid that we would have divine intimacy. And it is that very divine intimacy that we receive only through conversation with God, only with this loving friendship with God, day in and day out, that we will be able to be the disciples that we are called to be and fulfill the Father's will. So the enemy distracts us with any number of things, and often, for me, is successful in keeping me away. That's why it takes discipline. It takes a routine of prayer. I have tried personally to go without that routine, and I end up failing in the sense that I do not fit in the time. The hours of the day pass, and I have not prayed, as is both my duty and responsibility, and also now my joy. I mean, I pray now because it is a joy to commune with God. It is a joy to experience that divine intimacy. And that's what we want for one another, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely. And Kathleen, you're so right, you know, and oftentimes I think as we grow in our life of prayer, we begin to realize that God asks us to pray, certainly not for his benefit, but for ours.
Right.
And it becomes the time and the space through receptivity of heart that lets us experience his divine and holy presence, where there is an almost interior sensate reality of him at work within us. And it's a glorious thing. And it when you say it's energizing, but not in the way that, you know, some kind of a stimulant drink like a Red Bull or something would do. But it's something
right.
that it sparks that living water wells up, you know, and
yes.
you have an energy that is disproportionate to what your energy level naturally is, or disproportionate to your age. You know, you just keep going.
That's right. It's because the Holy Spirit, we've seen this. We've seen people that are well in, I mean, well in you know, far along in their age in life, and yet are so energized for the works of the Lord because it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's
right.
Because divine love and divine intimacy creates a dynamism in the soul, mm-hmm. so that they become dynamic. And we see this with, you know, look at the dynamism that we saw in St. John Paul II and in Mother Teresa, especially as they got older. That dynamism was still alive.
That's right.
And, you know, that's what we want operative today.
We sure do. Let's go to Louise. She's been holding a long time. She's in Monroe Township, New Jersey. Domestic Church Media is the way that she is joining us today. A shout out to the Manfredonias and the good staff there. Good morning, Louise. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Janet. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you for asking.
I'm glad to be on your program.
Thank you for calling. So what are you going to share with us today?
I'm going to share a contemplative song that I wrote a few months ago. Be still and know that I am God, he tells us. Be still and know that I am God, he reminds us. Look at the flowers, the meadows and the trees. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God, he tells us. Be still and know that I am God, he reminds us. When there's a rainbow coloring the sky, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God, he tells us. Be still and know that I am God, he reminds us. Look at the little baby in its mother's womb. Be still and know that I am God.
Louise, that is absolutely beautiful. It's
very
absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful.
So peaceful.
It's based on Psalm 47, verse 10.
Excellent.
Beautiful. Thank
Isn't
you.
Thank you so much, Louise. It's a very peaceful and lovely psalm that I think we'll sing in our hearts through the course of the day. Thank you so much, Louise.
Yes.
God bless you so very much. God bless you, dear. Lovely little song, and what a pleasant voice she has there. I just want to say that Jill has contacted us through YouTube, and she says that she loved what the story you shared there, Kathleen. Mommy is with God. She says, I love that. And she says that when she was growing up as a little girl, her mother would spend an hour each day praying the rosary in, you know, her mom and dad's bedroom. And she says, there were five children, and she says, even all five of us and even our friends knew it was a do not disturb time when mom was praying the rosary. So it's just a beautiful witness to children. And here all of these years later, you know, Jill remembers this and what an impression it made on her. So these are the beautiful ways that we communicate the faith without saying a word.
Oh, absolutely. And I so appreciate that she related to that story, which is such a beautiful story. I mean, it was just so delightful to hear. And, of course, I related to it because my mother would take the five of us to Mass, to the empty church in the middle of the week. She said, we are going to make a visit to God. And we would go, and she'd sit us in the front pew. Nobody would be in there. It'd be the middle of the day. It'd be around noon. And she would go kneel before the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. And I would just watch her, you know, and she would say, I need to visit the Lord and speak with him. But I would watch her, you know, she'd be there maybe 10 minutes, and I always noted that she was in a much better mood after that. And then on the way home, we would walk home, and I would say, Mom, when you talk to God, does he talk to you? And she would say, well, of course. Love is a two-way conversation. So even as a young girl, that witness stayed with me, and no wonder I feel so at home before the tabernacle.
That is beautiful. Oh, my goodness. And these are the small, simple ways in which we can teach our children how to pray in all kinds of different ways. We've got Goose with us from San Antonio, Texas, listening via Guadalupe Radio. Hello, Goose. How are you?
Hello, great. I'm doing good. I'm just so happy. I don't know where to start right now, but I'm very grateful and happy that y'all are having this show and this retreat coming up soon. And I just heard about it, so I'm super excited, and I hope to make it.
Good.
And a little bit about I'm a cradle Catholic, but I didn't make my first communion until I was 26. So I dropped out like twice when I was in fifth grade and sixth grade. By no choice of my parents, because they couldn't get me there on time. But I made it when I turned 26 years old, and I praise God. And I think it's very important to know about the gifts and fruits of the Spirit. And I'm just so happy that you're bringing that out in giving us that direction on how to combat the spirits, you know, that are evil, you know, and how to be prepared for them. And it's very important because, you know, at one point I thought I was going crazy. After 26, it seemed like the battle began, you know, like they say, the closer you get to God, the more of a challenge it is to stay there and walk with him.
Yeah.
And without these gifts and fruit, and knowing what's there, you know, what's in our arsenal to help us in battle, that it's virtually impossible. It is impossible to keep the commandments without knowing the gifts and fruits of the spirits. And especially, you know, there's so many of them that, and y'all are specializing on these right here. And I think it's great. And I know I talk a lot, and I could talk about this forever. I don't know where really I'm going with this, but what I'm trying to say is that I'm really happy because, I thought, you know, hey, you know what? I was doing good, but I was missing something. And then I started to I started to date this girl, and she was a Christian. She's like one of those Christians that go to the Spanish speaking Christians. They praise and worship in their churches.
Mm-hmm.
And they were jumping around and going. I was like, man, you know, they were kind of covering people up and yelling, and it was kind of like chaotic. And I was like, man, what is this? You know. And then every now and then they would talk about the Virgin Mary, you know, our mother, and I would be like, oh my goodness, you know, like, well, okay, well, they were talking negative about her, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, mm-hmm. What is this? You know, I didn't know. You know, I still didn't know anything. All I knew is to pray to God, and I praise God because my grandpa said, you know, whenever I had a problem, to pray to God. So I didn't even know about Mary or Jesus or even pray to them or worry about them because I go to man, you know, God the Father. Yeah, that's the Father. That's God. I talk to him. I don't need to talk to anybody else. So that was my idea of thinking coming up all these years.
Yeah.
But then little by little, the Holy Spirit guided me and formed me and then brought me back to the basics, you know, because it was very difficult to find myself and the meaning. And basically the Holy Spirit told me, okay, you got to go back to the basics. You know, that's what people are missing is the basics, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit in, you know, Isaiah 11, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, there's another 9, and then Galatians 5, there's the fruits. So
Goose,
those are the basics.
You're absolutely right. And as you're speaking, you know, there's so many things so many parts of your testimony here that could be highlighted. But I think the important part to highlight is the fact that God does desire for us to have relationship with him. And that when we are seeking to make our lives work without him, we find ourselves in dire straits. The other point I want to make is the fact that the Holy Spirit will always introduce us to his spouse, who happens to be our Blessed Lady. We know that that is the case between them because of what happens there in Luke's gospel in the very first chapter. And the beautiful reality is that God wants for us to know the Holy Spirit and to have all of those gifts and fruits of the Spirit. I'm absolutely delighted you want to join us. And as I'm saying, you know, this event is open to men and to women, to young adults. Teenagers, I do believe, would benefit by it greatly. Open the eyes of your heart, the transformative power of prayer, October 23rd and 24th. All the information for you out there at womenofgrace.com, including the schedule. And Kathleen, I'd like you to respond to Goose's testimony, because I think that it follows a pattern that many people have experienced today.
Oh, absolutely. What I really appreciated was I wrote down the words back to basics, mm-hmm. that he, you know, had different prayer experiences, and then thanks be to God through sacramental grace, and he was led back to the Catholic Church and back to basics. Even in his spirit, he sensed that anything that was coming against Our Lady was not correct, and it's mm-hmm. not. So, you know, he was led back, but he mentioned about how important it is to get back to the basics. And I just think that's exactly what we're doing in the upcoming conference, Johnette. I mean, it's getting back to the basics, the foundational principles of what it is to really be Catholic, what it is to really be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, you know, we have to remind ourselves that Scripture says, you know, Lord, teach me to pray. None of us can assume that we know how to pray. My disposition in prayer each day is, Lord, teach me to pray, because the Holy Spirit within us is the teacher of prayer. It is the Holy Spirit within us that moves the soul in the direction of God, in the direction of that divine intimacy. And yes, it becomes a battle, as the Catechism says, because we have an enemy, but we know in 1 John 3:8 that the Son of God appeared. The reason he appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Therefore, the disciple is also called to participate in the works of destroying the works of the devil. And so we have to be empowered to do that. We have to put on the mind of Christ. We have to be open to the dynamism of the Holy Spirit. We have to be under the protection and mantle of the Blessed Mother. And then we go forth fearless, because the enemy is, you know, we sometimes give too much power to the enemy and credit to him, when the power and the credit is due to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is always and always victorious.
Wow, Kathleen, I was sitting here and I was jumping up in my seat because you were preaching it, sister, and I loved it. You know, and that's the great reality, you know, when you're hearing truth being proclaimed, it resonates in your spirit, you know, and you just begin to be filled with that holy zeal and that joy and that marvelous infilling of new life that God wants for each one of us to receive. And I know it's going to be that way for us, October 23rd and 24th at this event. I just know it, because God cannot be outdone in generosity. And while we love to gather in person, because of the pandemic, these things are not possible. But that doesn't mean we can't gather together as the mystical body of Christ virtually. God is outside of time and space. He'll pull us together as one body as we come together. And that same dynamic that I was just experiencing in this moment with you preaching it, I know is going to be what we'll all be experiencing through this big event coming up, October 23rd and 24th. Get out to womenofgrace.com, register, be sure to join us. We're looking forward to being with you. Let's go to Michelle. She's in Norton, Ohio. I think we can get her in before our program is over. Where has the time gone? She is listening to us via Living Bread Radio. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. And to your guest, Kathleen. My question's about spiritual warfare. I have a daughter in her 20s who happens to have Down syndrome, and I really feel like, I mean, she has been suffering some setbacks, something very severely mentally, where she exhibits anxiety, depression, and voices and all. And I am getting her help and praying and novenas, healing it, you know, the priest, anointing of the sick, everything. I feel like what she's suffering is like what our great saints have gone through, so many trials. Yet when I sit down and say, okay, you know, what are you grateful for? What do you want God's help for? She just like refuses. It's overwhelming, perhaps. Is it the devil, perhaps? I'm not sure, but my question is, I know my prayers, I think, can be in her behalf, and I ask for prayers for healing for her. I'm doing, you know, continuing to look for the best treatments and things. It just seems very unfair, and there's been many well-meaning adults, doctors in her life, I feel, have contributed to this breakdown, and it's really unfortunate, and yet I don't think any human being is immune to such things.
That's right, Michelle. Well, listen, you know what I want to do? We've got just 2 minutes left here, and we've got Kathleen Beckman with us right now, right? And Kathleen is a marvelous prayer warrior. And so, Kathleen, you know, I'd like you, if you would please pray for Michelle, respond first to her concern, and then let's pray for her and pray for all of those individuals today that are really struggling, that are really under some type of oppressive spirit. Would you do that for us?
I'd be happy to. Thank you, Michelle, for your call. And I just want to encourage you to trust the way the Holy Spirit's working with you and continue to exercise your parental authority to pray deliverance prayers. You can find approved deliverance prayers online. You can find them in, I just wrote a book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare. I have a lot of deliverance prayers for parents to pray for their children. And then I want to say it's probably not either or, but both and, when it comes to, you know, the physiological and health needs of your daughter, but also the spiritual warfare that comes, because the devil is a bully and he tries to attack the vulnerable. And so, but God made a provision for that, and the provision is your the grace of God. You were right to get the sacrament of healing and to exercise your parental authority, and so let's pray for your daughter right now.
Yeah, we just have like about 30 seconds left, Kathleen, so go ahead.
Okay, dear Lord Jesus, we confide to your heart this beautiful girl whose mother has articulated her need. We ask that you and your healing mercy would envelop her in your heart, and that you would transform her and pour forth your healing grace upon her and her mother. You know the need. We trust in you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Michelle, thank you for your call. We're tucking you in today. You'll be in our prayers. And Kathleen, thank you so much. And friends, we're looking forward to being with you October 23rd and 24th, womenofgrace.com. That's where the information is. Kathleen, it was terrific. Thank you so much. And God bless all of you. Jonet Williams saying goodbye.